Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 61 for August 30th, 2008. Eco-friendly families. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by AudibleKids.com. To receive 9 kids audiobooks absolutely free, go to audiblekids.com/jumpingmonkeys. And by Visa. With every purchase, Visa prevents, detects, and resolves online fraud. Safe, secure, Visa. It's time for Jumping Monkeys, the show that talks all about parenting in the digital age. Ladies and gentlemen, an actual parent, Megan Maroney.
Hi, Leo. Aren't you an actual parent still?
Ladies and gentlemen, another actual parent, Leo Laporte. Actually, I am, but soon not to be, because I think our family is kind of 3 days. Abby moves to France for a year.
You're going to be a half-empty nester.
It's kind of, yeah. It's a big one. This is a big transition, the empty nest. And then, of course, the really big one is when the last one goes.
Yeah, but she's not even going to college. She's just going away for the year.
Well, that's kind of why it's a little, you know, last night, Jennifer, I'm reading a book. Jennifer says, aren't you even upset about Abby going? And I said, well, yeah, but I mean, I'm not every minute of the day. Yeah, but also I'm a little bit more sanguine about it than she is. I'm kind of saying this is going to be a great opportunity for her. And yeah, it's a little hard for us, but it would be selfish of me to say, oh, yeah, this is terrible.
Right.
It's not. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. I would love to do this. Wouldn't you love to do that?
I would love to do that. I was going to go abroad my junior year of college, and then I got a boyfriend and stayed.
See, this is the other thing. Now's a good time for Abby to do this before she discovers boys.
Well, right. But she has a boyfriend.
Oh, shoot.
I was thinking that the other day. I was like, Leo must be psyched that she's going out of town now that she has this serious boyfriend.
I actually am.
Because I saw you. They were here at the TWiT cottage, and you were driving them home or something, and you seemed so calm. And I was like, uh-huh, that is because
well, you know what
in
happened?
A week she'll be gone in another country.
Yeah, exactly. I don't. If I have to say, if I thought that this was going to be a long-term thing, I'd be a little bit less relaxed about it. I mean, they're very cute together. She says, I love him, Daddy, and that's when I really want to barf. they're cute together. He's a nice boy. We've talked to him. Jennifer walked up to him and said, I could say his name, Ezra. She said, Ezra, Abby's too young to have sex. And he went,
That is such not a nice thing for Jennifer to say.
But Jennifer, you know, Jennifer takes the bull by the horns.
Yeah.
She's a psychotherapist.
Right.
And she also, when she was Abby's age, really liked boys. And so she kind of knows what's going on. She knows the score, as do I.
Yeah.
Because I really liked girls at that age. And we remember well enough. And so I think it was a good thing. And I think it was a good thing to kind of, instead of not saying anything, to bring it to the foreground, just say, hey, we're aware of this. We know this is what you guys want to do.
Right.
And we're not, you know, I mean, we're not locking her into her room.
Right. No, you're just sending her to another country. It's one way.
Yeah, but I think we made a mistake because we're sending her to France. France, where the French kiss was invented. France. I mean, maybe we should be sending her to somewhere where there's a convent.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It is really funny because I do think that it's really interesting the difference in our children's ages and the fact that Annabella started kindergarten and I was in tears when she's gone for 3.5 hours.
We're going through different transitions.
Yeah, and she's going to be gone for an entire year.
This is why I love doing this show, because there is this parental experience we all have in common. We're at different stages, which is very interesting. And I remember when Abby was little, we only hung out, and I'm sure this is true, with parents whose kids are the same age. That's
right.
Who you know.
Yeah.
So you all go through it together. So it's kind of great to talk to parents with different kids' ages.
Yeah.
It's hard to identify, but I got to tell you, from this end, it happens so fast that you really, there isn't that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, boom, that's going to be happening.
So today we're going to talk to Helen Coronado. She has a new book. It's called Eco-Friendly Families, Guide Your Family to Greener Living with Activities That Will Engage and inspire.
I love that.
Yeah, it's got some really good ideas.
Do you think she'll notice the air conditioner running in the background?
I don't know. We should have had her in the studio, and then she would have noticed and probably appreciated the air conditioning.
Yeah, because it's very hot out there. And we had, you know, when was it? About 3 weeks ago, we had guests in the studio. Mm-hmm. The people were doing the animated kids show.
Yep.
And that guy looked like he was just going to have a heart attack. Yeah. I felt so bad.
Well, I also forgot to mention that there was video involved at all, I think, and I forgot to. So it was partly my fault.
It was not in the least bit your fault. I just feel bad because the poor guy, really, it was hot.
Yeah.
And so now I have AC, and I'm going to leave it running on these hot days. I just wasn't prepared for it because Petaluma isn't supposed to be this hot.
Yeah, that's true. So we're going to talk to her a little later in the show. She's going to call in. So
get ready to answer the phone.
Yes, we will first want to tell people that you can call us 707-981-4602.
That's our Grand Central number.
Yep.
Or
leave a message.
If you don't, now that's not toll free. That's a long distance call to Northern California. But if you would prefer, you can go to Megan's site, jumpingmonkeys.com, and press the call me button, and then Grand Central absorbs the charges,
right.
Which is kind of neat.
Yeah, you put your number in, the number doesn't get saved, and I'm not writing them all down and call you when I decide to run for president or anything.
Although that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, if you want me to run for president, let me know. I got some years left. A few.
Are you inspired watching the conventions?
I would, but we don't have TV. But I've been inspired.
Wait a minute. You've said that a couple of times, and I didn't really pick up on it. You mean you can't watch the news?
Right. Well, you don't get TV reception either.
Yeah, we did. I finally got basic cable for only this reason. You know, this really worked out well. For a long time, we had no TV reception. Mm. And the kids got out of the habit of going to the TV to look at something to watch. They do watch a lot on the internet and stuff, but they really got out of that habit. And now I hooked up the cable again because I want to see the news, right? You know, well, for stuff like this, I don't watch the nightly news. It's too depressing. But for when there's news events going on, I want to watch the Olympics or something like that. So, yeah, and it's great. And they're not hooked on it. So it's gone past that point of no return. Now they just aren't in the habit, and they won't go sit down in front of the TV.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think that we could probably get TV reception. You know, we have Comcast for our phone and our internet.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it's actually, we pay more not to have TV.
Is that true?
It's true.
Good for you. I'm
proud
of you.
It's true, because I've called and I said, you know, how can I make my bill cheaper? And she said,
order cable.
You can get TV. Cable TV.
Don't hook it up.
Well, that's what I was suggesting. Marco thinks it's a slippery slope. He's the one with the TV problem, not me.
No, he's right. I'm with him.
Because my parents let me watch whatever TV
really?
I wanted to. I remember coming home from elementary school, like, I would watch Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch. I think I would watch TV until dinner time, and my brain would be, like, buzzing. I'm sure I did other things. I love to read and everything.
It's fine, because you're brilliant. It certainly didn't hurt you in any way.
Right, but Marco was not allowed to watch television when he was a child. He had to read a book for each half an
hour
of television. And he's a little bit of a TV addict. But
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
Right. He's more on the side of not letting our kids watch TV. I'm more on, you know, they watch, like, you know, they might be Giants videos and movies.
Yeah, well, there's
and
lots
stuff.
Of videos. We all watch DVDs and stuff, I think.
Right.
Yeah. But, no, that's very interesting. Yeah. So he would, if they were hooked up, he would watch it all the time. You know, there's an old saying, what you resist persists.
Exactly.
The thing that you fight most against, in this case, because his parents fought against TV, is what kind of persisted in his brain.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of
interesting. Yeah, and you know, one of the arguments for TV that I've heard people make is that kids are out of the cultural conversation if they don't have TV. And I've heard other people say that's crazy.
I don't buy that.
But you know what? I really did feel that with the Olympics. It was the first time that,
maybe,
you know, we got together with friends and their kids.
Yeah.
And you know, our kids aren't at the age where they're having cultural conversations yet, but the parents were all talking about
that
it.
Michael Phelps? Hey, it's really cool.
But they were talking about how their kids were, like, trying to do gymnastics off the bed and, you know, getting really into swimming.
Oh. Gee, it's too bad they didn't do that.
Right. So, you know, they were saying how their kids were getting really into the Olympics, and our kids, not so much.
I don't buy into that cultural argument because, well, and this even happens because they watch The Office on DVD, and they'll sit down at they'll sit down at the table. We'll start having a conversation about fictional characters from a TV show. So they'll say, "Well, you know, Michael Scott wouldn't do that. He would." And it's like, Michael Scott doesn't exist. There is no Michael Scott. It's a character in a TV show. And that actually bugs me. I guess if they were talking about Lorna Doone, I wouldn't feel so bad. But but a character TV show is not real, and yet because we're biologically wired, to identify with them as if they're real people, I think we get very confused. And I don't want my kids to be thinking to talk about that. So I don't buy that.
Yeah.
And how important are those conversations, you know, that we all had in college? Well, Ginger or Marianne?
Right.
Who would you do? I mean, I don't think that's that important.
No.
We can do without that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think our kids will probably watch more TV now that Annabelle's actually in school. She, is starting to learn more about the things that she's missed, what her parents have kept her from. Hannah Montana,
et Yeah, my cetera. Kids, my, it's funny, my kids know all of that stuff, even though they don't
they
watch it.
Watch
they know
it. Yeah. Yeah.
I know it. I don't think that that's going to hurt them too much. But yeah. I'm also not a Nazi about it. I think TV's okay to have in the house.
Yeah, I think so. And the thing, you know, we watch movies. It's not like we're not watching it. So should be what's okay for them should be okay for us.
Hey, let's do the spend, save, give in a little bit, because guess who's on the line?
Is Helen on the line?
Helen Coronado. Hi, Helen.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm sorry that we've just been gassing on, and you've probably been wondering what the heck is going on here.
No, gas away. It's lovely.
So welcome to the show. Helen Coronado is the author of Eco-Friendly Families, Guide mm-hmm. Your Family to Greener Living with Activities That Will Engage and Inspire from Toddlers to Teens. Couldn't be more timely, I tell you.
Yeah.
Helen
is also a former middle school English teacher, and you are a children's librarian.
Yes, I've run the gamut.
So where do you stand on this whole thing about TV in the house?
Okay, well, I was just picking up on the last little bit of it. I mean, you know, I think that TVs in the kids' rooms where they can just turn it on, no good. I mean, there needs to be some kind of, for me, there needs to be some kind of parental control over it.
Yeah.
You know, we use TV as a treat. We use it when, you know, it's, well, mommy's going to melt down unless she takes a 5-minute breather from the kids.
Nothing wrong with that.
I did that.
Right. You know, we use it as another part of our tools for the day. It doesn't go on every day, and it certainly doesn't go on to whatever it is that they want to watch. We use a lot of PBS, mostly because what my problem is the commercials. I think they're just, the cereals and the food and the games and everything else, whereas PBS, the commercials are much more benign, so I can walk away for 5 seconds and know that even if this program switches, it's not going to switch all of a sudden to something that I wouldn't want them seeing.
Right.
And how old are your kids, Helen?
3 and 1.
Three.
So the 1-year-old just, crawls away. I mean, he's got no interest. But the 3-year-old has started to know has started to be interested in television. So, bits and pieces, a little Curious George here and there is okay. But we really, really monitor it.
We were talking about the Olympics and how a little bit older than yours, but a little bit older kids would then, be interested in athletics and so forth. But I have to say, you make a good point. The ads on the Olympics, in many cases, I wouldn't want younger kids to see. I wouldn't want my kids, my teenagers to see. I mean, there's, beer commercial, all sorts of stuff that I don't like on there. It just bugs the heck out of me.
Yeah, I guess if you have TiVo, perhaps you can pick and choose the programs more. You could just fast forward through those.
TiVo's great for parents of kids.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it really does help weed those things out.
Yeah, good. Plus there's always something appropriate on. You don't have to, you're not stuck with what's on right now.
Right.
Exactly.
So, Helen, you have so many great ideas in your book. I loved your idea about wrapping kids' gifts or any gifts with the grocery bags, the reusable grocery bags. That's a fantastic idea.
Oh, thanks so much. I really enjoyed coming up with the ideas.
Yeah, so I need to pick your brain on something. The bane of my existence is sippy cups.
Okay.
I have a 5-year-old and 3-year-old twins, and none of them are ready to really go full-time to the glass cup. So I know you have a lot of stuff about plastics. What's your solution for having eco-friendly, good plastic sippy cups?
Okay, there is one company, I believe it, you forgive me, I don't remember the name of them, but it's a more benign plastic cup, and I think that there can even be found in Babies R Us. But the cups that we use and that I really like are the Clean Canteens. Have you heard of these?
I have, but my problem is they're sort of expensive. They're like $15
for the 12. But they're reusable?
They're reusable. They don't leach any plastics. And I'll tell you, my kids guard these Clean Canteens with their life. They love them. They have the Clean Canteens, and they also have SIGS, which SIGDS, which is another company that makes these kinds of things. And here's a trick that I have found that really I wouldn't have believed it unless I had tried it myself. We've had, let's say, 10 sippy cups, plastic sippy cups at any given time. I cannot find a single one when I need it.
So exactly.
Or you can find the cup, but you can't ever find the lid.
Right.
You can never find the lid. It's under the couch. It's disgusting. It's filled with pasta from the afternoon lunch. Who knows? These clean canteens, because they only have one each, we guard them with our lives, and we take much better care of them. So we have had the clean canteens for 2 years,
wow.
The same exact one. And I can't even tell you the amount of plastic sippy cups that I was going through.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I think it's one of those, like, less is more in this case, because when you have only one, you know that you have to take good care of it.
Right, and if you know it's $15, you as a mother are taking better care of it.
Is that what you have there behind you, Megan? Is that what you're bringing around?
I have the Sig bottle, and my kids have the little Sig bottles, but they kind of, they're not so easy to drink out of. I think they're about a year old.
Yeah.
And they get a lot of air in them when they're sipping them. I don't love them.
That's not good for kids.
I don't love, my 3-year-old loves the Sig because it has Paddington Bear on it. And he thinks that that's just the best jam.
I love Paddington too.
Who doesn't? And he can twist it and he can make it open and close. My 1-year-old gets so frustrated with the Sig bottle.
Right.
So we have the clean canteen for him, and we have the, like the sports sippy top, and that's been working out really nicely.
Okay, so the clean canteen sippy cup, is that, can they chew through, is it like rubber that they can chew through?
No, they can't chew through it, but it's a different kind of material, so it's not as harsh as, that really hard plastic that they get the teeth marks in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that, and it's not a plastic where they're like biting it off and chewing on it. So it's some, hybrid thing that they're using that is not harmful, and they can drink out of, and it's clean, and it doesn't leach, and it can be easily cleaned, which is nice.
Okay. We can move on to another topic.
But I feel your pain. I feel your pain. Because, plastic bottles, sippy cups, all these things, these are things that we need constantly, and they are expensive. I was really reluctant to, to put the cash out for one of them, but it's really been a really nice solution for our family.
Well, when you're talking eco-friendly, I think this is a huge eco disaster. All of these disposable water bottles, we go through millions and millions and millions a day, and they're just filling the landfill.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrendous. The plastic water bottles are absolutely, absolutely horrendous. And getting a reusable water bottle as an adult is a great idea. I mean, the clean canteens, I have one for myself. To invest in something that's high quality and that you can take back and forth is great. A lot of times on these plastic water bottles, if you look at the labels, it's from a municipal source. Like someone is literally filling it up from their sink in the city.
Actually, in a way, you hope that's the case because municipal water standards are actually higher than the standards for bottled water. It may be cleaner if it's a municipal source.
Well, but you might as well use your own sink.
I agree.
Bottled water because it has some kind of magic in it isn't true. Anytime you move into a house these days, they do a water test. You can always have a water test done. You can put a Brita filter on your sink. There's no reason to be buying these, spending cash on billions and billions of water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something that just started a few years ago, and it's a blight. Mm-hmm. And we've just got to stop it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with the plastic bags. I mean, plastic bags are just everywhere. They are everywhere, and they're wreaking havoc on the environment. They clutter up the home, and, I mean, they're absolutely terrible. If you can do anything, get yourself a good high-quality thermos and get yourself some reusable bags and use them.
So how do you, what about, my problem is I have probably 15, 20 of those reusable grocery bags because I always forget them, and then I have to rebuy them at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How can, as like a busy mom, how can you remember?
Now, how old are your kids?
5, 3, and 3.
Okay. I would put one of the children or all of the children in charge of the bags. My 3-year-old is in charge of remembering the bags. So when we come in from grocery shopping, we take out all of the groceries, I fold up all the bags and I put them into one, and they go back into the car by the seat, by his seat. So they're at the foot of his car seat. So anytime we go to the store, when I'm getting him out of the car, they're right there so I see them. But he also knows that he has to hold them. And my friend Anna gave me a great idea. Another way for her to remember them is that when they hold hands crossing the parking lot, her son Elliot holds one handle and she holds the other handle. So together they're carrying the bags in, and that's become a surefire way not to forget them.
Right. So that means you're driving to the grocery store as opposed to walking.
Yes, we are driving to the grocery store. I mean, we don't live. I mean, I don't live a utopian lifestyle. I wish that I did. I mean, I wish I was driving my hybrid car to the store, but I'm not. I'm driving, you know, my Jeep Cherokee to the car, and I love it.
Well, that's a good point to make, because I think a lot of we have a van. Because we got to do carpools. We got a lot of kids. It'd be nice if we're going to get a Prius the minute we can. But you know, most of the time, if you've got kids, you ain't driving an eco-friendly car.
No, a lot of times that you're not. But in the book, I really map out some nice ideas that you can do with the car, regardless of what kind of make and model you have, to make it more efficient. I mean, having the air pressures in your tires checked saves a lot of gas. So does making sure that your oil is changed. The common maintenance that you do on your car will help you get better gas mileage and therefore run cleaner, which is a huge bonus for the environment.
That's a very good point. Yeah, there are things you can just do. And by the way, with gas costs what they are, and I'm really glad that they're that high in some ways, because it really encourages you to do things like that.
Yeah, even driving 5 miles an hour slower is going to make your gas mileage better. So if you're just more mindful of if we're all more mindful of what we have, then I think that we can really make some nice changes that are realistic and that we can stick with. You know, so instead of saying, okay, I'll wait till I get a hybrid car before I start caring about how I drive, if you look at the make and model of your car and how much maintenance it's supposed to get and what kind of gas it's supposed to get, and you make good choices with what you have, you really will make an important impact.
Well, that's another good point, because I've said to my husband, well, we should get rid of our car and get a Prius. And he's like, you know, getting rid of our perfectly working car,
that's not such a good choice either. Yeah.
Is not a good idea, you know, and it's just, so it's a good point. I wanted to go back when I was talking about walking as opposed to driving. It seemed like you were pretty okay with the fact that you don't do everything. You know, you sometimes have to drive to the grocery store. Like, I feel like so much of parenting is about guilt for certain things. How do you not load all this eco guilt on yourself?
Well, I mean, really, the best analogy that I can use is like weight loss. I'll decide on Monday that I'm going to lose 10 pounds by Friday. So I'll say, okay, I'm just going to eat grapefruit and hard-boiled eggs all week, and I'll lose 10 pounds. And 2 o'clock on Monday, I'm in the pantry eating Oreos. It's these kind of like extreme things that make us throw in the towel and get that eco guilt and feel really, really frustrated. So what I wanted to do with the book, and chapter 3 really maps it out, I did a 12-month calendar. You know, if you just start to look at simple things that you can do and make small changes and be consistent with those small changes, they will add up to really big changes. When I had the kids, and, you know, the house was kind of getting out of control, and it felt like there was just a mess everywhere, and I couldn't stay on top of anything, you know, I'm going to make the beds every day. That's all I'm doing. I'm just going to make the beds, because you know what? Mentally, I just feel better if the beds are made. And eventually, from making the beds every day, okay, then the laundry was getting done a little bit more, and then the dishes were getting out of the sink. But it started with making a commitment to one thing with house cleaning. And from there, we can build. It's the same thing with going green. You choose the things that are most important to you and that are within your reach. You know, for me to say I'm never going to drive to the store, I'm going to bike there with 2 kids when it's, like, I think it's 9 miles to the grocery store for us. No way! I'm going to get halfway there and, like, be calling my husband to, like, come get us on the side of the road.
Right.
That is not realistic. That's not realistic. And mommy guilt is something that the media has perpetrated so we buy more stuff. That's all that mommy guilt is.
Mm-hmm.
Buy this, you'll feel better. Buy this, you'll be a better mom. Buy this, and your kids will be smarter. You know, once we recognize that we're just being used as pawns, we can really start to take a step back and say, you know what, I don't have to compare myself to anybody else. I'm going to focus on what my family can do, and I'm going to be really proud of the contribution that we're making. Great if your next door neighbors are, you know, growing their own corn stalks and, you know, grinding their own flour. That's terrific. If what you're doing is going to the farmer's market, that's enough. You can always build. There's always more to do. There's no green finish line.
Yeah, that's a very good point of view, I have to say.
Yeah.
It's the only practical point of view. I mean, we should all be, I think we all feel a certain amount of guilt that we're not taking better care of our environment, but you can only do what you can do.
Right.
And it's tough with kids. Why should parents bear the brunt of this? I mean, parents are working harder than anybody out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and that's a big part of the book, is that this is about doing it as a family. I mean, because
like
let's say we can convince all the adults today to go green.
Right.
You know, that's the best thing to do. Great. So, like, mom and dad are recycling, and, you know, at the office, they're recycling the paper, and everyone's using fair trade coffee. Fantastic. And then the kids grow up with all the old habits of, you know, just taking whatever they want and dumping whatever they want. And where are we? We're right back where we started. So if we can make some changes with our children and really get them on board, we're raising the next generation of environmental stewards. So instead of just throwing a Band-Aid on this problem, we're really getting to the crux of the problem and making some real changes that have the potential to last.
Mm-hmm. So what about parents of teenagers? What can they do?
Yeah.
Bribe them. I mean, of course, really, money is the way to a teenager's heart. So a great thing to do with teens is to put them in charge of car maintenance once they start driving. Have them be the ones that drive the car down to the mechanic to get the oil changed, to get the air checked, because they love to take your car anyway. So have them take it somewhere productive.
Wow, that's
you can have all the, if they, you have younger kids and you want to do something like a consignment sale or a garage sale, Have the oldest of the younger, or the teen, you know, be the one who orchestrates that and who labels everything in the house and who gets a percentage of it because he's one of your workers. So make them recognize, because the truth of the matter is, the more green we are, the more money we do save. Because really, at the core of going green is making responsible consumer choices, right? So that means not being wasteful, making our dollar go further, using what we already have on hand. So if we teach our teens, you know, gather up all the winter jackets that aren't fitting anybody anymore, mm-hmm. drive them down to the consignment store or have a garage sale, and you get a percentage of that. You teach them that it really is cost effective to go green.
Yeah, my kids. You know what? It's interesting. My daughter, who's 16, has mm-hmm. got the religion. And she yells at us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're lucky, your kids might even be better at this than you. And I guess that's really the hope for the future of the planet, is that the next generation does a better job.
Yeah, I mean, and they really are. I mean, they're getting it in school. It's very cool right now. Hollywood has made it very cool to be green. So they're really tapping. I mean, you know, it's very cool to be green, but they take their private jets everywhere. It's very interesting. Anyway, a little side note. So you have your 16-year-old, you know, watching the media and getting this in school, and the message is that this is the thing to do. So chances are that they are kind of coming at you from the, you know, I know more than you do, and how great does it make them feel to say that all the time, right?
They love it. They love it.
Yeah, I know that we should be doing this. You know, this is what we have to do. And, you know, it's a great chance to be like, that's great. Let's follow your lead and let's see, you know, what other ideas you can come up with. Mm-hmm. And if your kids are coming home with ideas, for you to put them into practice really makes it a two-way street that works for everyone.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your radio show.
Well, I do a radio show called A Novel Idea, which is on Homegrown Radio New Jersey. It's also an internet radio show, and it's A Novel Idea, Stories Behind the Bookshelves. It's a little VH1 throwback. So what I do is I have agents and editors and authors and illustrators on, and they come on to talk about the process, what kind of goes on behind the scenes, and give people who are interested in knowing, especially with publishing, what it is that they can do to put their best foot forward. So it's been a really, really interesting program. I've done it for just over 2 years now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So your website is helencoronado.com, and you can find your radio show at homegrownradionewjersey.com, NJ?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And you can find eco-friendly families everywhere.
Excellent.
Which is fantastic. And I have a couple of speaking engagements coming up in the fall, in October 19th or 20th. I have to look at my calendar, see if it's a Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, October 18th is the Holistic Moms National Conference in Mahwah, New Jersey. And I'll be speaking there on eco-friendly families and showing moms and dads how to really utilize some of the tips and do some of the hands-on activities. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay.
And I have a few book signings coming up, and all of that is right there on my website.
Oh, great. And you've been traveling around to schools also?
Yes, I also do school appearances. I just helped the Girl Scouts in our area achieve their Eco Badge, which they didn't even have when I was a kid, which shows you how different things are today.
Yeah.
So I put together a program for them, which was really enjoyable. And, you know, we made some door socks so that we could, this was in the spring, so we could insulate the house and keep the air conditioning in and keep the hot weather out. I gave them a nice talk. We made some cleaning solutions. It was a really, really fun afternoon. And I really enjoy going into the schools and talking to the kids about going green. And I also do writing workshops, you know, with middle school and high school students.
Right.
Since I've written three books, I just signed on to do my fourth book. Oh. So I'd like to give them, you know, a little bit of a professional edge to their writing, which is always a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was great to talk to you.
It's been a pleasure. And if I could just leave your listeners, you know, with one thought, I would love to. It's that, you know, when I was growing up, I did not grow up in this, like, green kind of lifestyle. I mean, we ate fast food. We threw everything in the garbage. I had to learn everything that's in the book. And so I would never want anyone to feel like it's too late for them. You really, just by making small changes and making a commitment to stick with those small changes, you can have a really important impact. And every small change adds up, and everyone's effort counts. So I really encourage people not to get discouraged and not to get overwhelmed, but to just try and do one thing. If you do that, it's one more right step in the green direction.
Well, thanks.
Thank you very much. It's great to talk to you, Helen. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
All right.
You too. Take care.
Helen Coronado. The book is called Eco-Friendly Families. And yes, this is an uncorrected manuscript I'm holding up.
Yes.
But the book is available, or will be available any minute now, from Alpha Books. And if you go to helencoronado.com, there's an order button.
Yeah, I think
right
it
there.
Was. It came out August 5th.
So this is just a, you got this
I got
a while
it a few
ago.
Months ago, yes. Oh,
okay. You got the pre-release.
You know me, I'm always planning ahead, months ahead.
You know, I've never seen anybody do a better job of producing a show. You ought to be a producer.
I ought to be
You
something.
Ought to be a producer.
I ought to
We're
going
to hire you, Megan, next year. We've already decided. As soon as we make some money, man, you're the first person I hire.
Right. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I have felt sort of like a stay-at-home single mom the last few days. Marco's been on a retreat. You know, they go up to the Pocket Ranch.
For the kids, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just the teachers go first.
Ranch is really neat.
Yeah, it is nice. And we've reduced the hours of our babysitter because the kids are in school, but the boys haven't started school yet. So
you're home a lot.
Yeah, I have been by myself.
How's that been for you?
It's been exciting.
You enjoy it?
It is fun. It's fun, but it's like if you don't have the lack of routine that's the problem. You know, it's not like I'm not used to taking care of my kids.
No, but it's
like
nice when you have a certain schedule.
Right. Yeah.
Because then you know this is here, this is here, and they know that mm-hmm. too. I think that's a hard thing with kids is making those transitions. Mm-hmm. They need schedules.
Yeah, and because Marco hasn't been working for the summer,
I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Now, you had talked about him going half time this year. Is that going to happen?
He just starts at 11:45 every day. So. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm going to be sleeping late. I'm not getting up before
7:45
nice. Any morning.
Henry's back to school. They start early here for some reason, before Labor Day. And we have to get him up. it irks me, but it's the way it is. He doesn't have to get to the school bus till I think 8:10. We have to get him up at 6:30 because he's so slow.
Yeah.
He dawdles. So if we don't start him literally an hour and a half early, he won't make it.
That is so disappointing to me because that's what I have to
that's
do with my
future.
Boys.
That's,
no, that is now. That's what we
present.
Have to do now.
Does
and I'm thinking,
better?
Really, it doesn't get better than that? It's so funny because, I mean, getting the kids, all three of the kids, school this morning walking.
That's got to be
I had a friend who was like, we were sitting down at the breakfast table and heard you outside passing by. And she was like, I looked at the clock is it already time
if
for
they say, I was fast asleep and I heard you walking.
No, I know. But at the breakfast table, they were still eating breakfast and she looked at the clock and I was like, we have to leave early. Because, you know, kids walking, they have to stop and look at everything. And there's a ladybug and there's a dandelion and there's a, you know, and you don't want to have to rush that. So it's easier to start earlier.
Well, that's the thing about you is you're a nice mom and you encourage them and you let them do it. Jennifer was like that, too. I'll never forget the day I came home. I think I've told this story before. And there's flour all over the kitchen. Did I tell you that story?
I think you did, but it was a long time ago.
I came home from work and the kids were little. I think Henry was maybe 5 and Abby was 7, something like that. And she let them empty bags of flour all over the kitchen and roll around with it and play with it. And I, you know, you'd think I'd come in and go, what the, right. You know, I'm furious, but she was in the middle of it. So I,
yeah.
But at the same time, I thought that is really neat.
Yeah.
Because she let them have that moment, which I'm sure they'll never forget.
Right.
And you know, we figured, we'll clean it up. We got a vacuum cleaner.
Right. Exactly. Well, that was like last night we were walking. We saw you when we were walking and we had to walk all the way to Baker Street
to get that fruit box.
It was so hot and I thought we were going to die. And I there's that Petaluma Creamery right there where they have ice cream. I was like, okay, we're stopping for ice cream. And I looked in my wallet and I looked in my purse, no wallet. And I was just like, okay. So we walked all the way back. We were so good for walking. And it was about, I don't know, 6 o'clock. And I said, we need to get ice cream. So we got in the car, drove across town to Cold Stone.
Good for you. And
had ice cream at, you know, and then we ate dinner. That's the kind of mom I am when I'm alone.
You had dessert first.
Yes. I'm sort of a dad when I'm alone.
Yeah, I like that. Do you think Ed Marco would never have done that?
No.
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 You must
never.
Eat your peas.
No, but I was like, I promised ice cream, and what's the big deal? So we have ice cream, and then we eat dinner.
See,
afterwards.
I think you and I are more alike that way. Mm-hmm. I often say, what's the big deal? You know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
This isn't going to matter. We've got save, spend, save,
Let's
give.
Let's do our spend,
But before
save,
we do that, I do want to remind everybody, when you spend, very important to spend right. To do it the right... Did you know there's a right and a wrong way to spend?
I spend with a credit card. Is that the right way or
that
the wrong way?
That is the... You took the words right out of my mouth, but not just any credit card,
I spend
friends,
with my Visa card.
Because Visa makes sure that when you spend online or off, it's safe. It's secure. Visa does everything possible to prevent, detect, and even resolve online fraud. So should anything happen, you know you just got two words to remember. I forgot them. Oh, no.
Visa?
That's one
and
word.
Visa.
Zero. Visa and Visa. Zero liability. You are not liable for unauthorized purchases made with your Visa card. It's just the safest way to shop. Security is their middle name. Except they only have one name. So really, they don't have a middle name. But if they had a middle name, it would be Visa Security Visa. The third. So next time you go... Boy, when they bought ads on this show, they had no idea. When you go shopping online or off, make sure you use your Visa card. Safe, secure, Visa. We thank them so much for their support of the Jumping Monkeys program. And now that you know
spend.
How to do it safely.
Now here's what you should use your Visa for.
Let's talk about it.
These are called the site's called Darling Mummy.
And we're not talking about like an Egyptian.
No, like your mommy mummy.
Oh.
These are really cute t-shirts.
You like t-shirts.
I
Are you
like
a t-shirt
t-shirts.
Queen?
Yeah, I'm a t-shirt. Well, I've always been a t-shirt queen. That's always been my thing.
I've never seen you wear a t-shirt. Oh, wait a minute. On the screensavers, that's all you wore.
You really have a short
I have a short
You're
memory.
Really
you were famous for your, like,
t-shirts.
You had t-shirts from Think Geek.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did Jinx, did we do?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember. I just got them from everywhere.
You got great t-shirts.
So anyway, this is my new line of t-shirts. They have to say things like, I'm too sexy for my minivan.
So these are not for the kids.
No, these are for
moms. These are for the moms.
Yes.
By the way, I saw Annabella wearing a t-shirt yesterday that said, President, not Princess.
Yes. I mentioned that shirt on the show before.
I loved that.
It's really cute. That's because shirt's got a lot of
And on the back it said, my glass ceiling has 18 million cracks in it. Did it? No, I just
no, but that would be good.
It'd be good.
Yeah.
So these are a few of them. Don't mess with mommy with a little skull and crossbones. Mm-hmm. And then a little Starbucks coffee. It says carpool fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your mama?
I like the tennis one.
Where's
perfect.
That?
It's got a little tennis racket. It says perfect excuse for a short skirt. And then my other favorite is the broom, the one with the broom.
Frequent flyer. Oh, these are great.
Yeah, they're really cute. It's a mom-owned business. Two moms thought that, you know, there wasn't anything for their carpool
I'm
lifestyle.
I'm giving this one to Jennifer. It's a glass of wine. It says mommy juice.
Yeah.
That's good. Or in the peace sign that says teach your children well. That's good for the old hippies.
I think that Jennifer would like that wine one. And they're extra long for the mom style. No, you know, baby tees. As I used to have.
She might like I'm too sexy for my minivan.
She would.
That's
When's
very
her birthday?
Funny. It's coming up. It's September 4th.
Okay, buy it now.
If I buy it right now, I might have time to get it if I have it overnight shipping.
Yeah.
No, they'd make it.
Yeah.
They'd make it.
Probably.
Should I get a red, white, and blue?
Well,
it's three wine glasses. Red is red wine. White is white wine and blue is empty.
But you know what? They had a cute shirt that I was going to get for my aunt. It had a little nest and it said empty nest because her Aww. Youngest just went off to college. And but
if I gave
emailed
that
the...
to Jennifer, she'd burst into tears.
She would, yeah. Yeah. Maybe the mommy juice one would be more appropriate.
So can you buy these online? Or...
Only online. Oh, I don't know.
No,
where
it has
locations?
A store locator too.
Oh.
So I could, they're in Tuscaloosa, Scottsdale, Denver, all over.
California anywhere?
Let's see. I'm looking.
But you can buy them online too, right?
Grass Valley, Huntington Beach, Manolo Park, San Ramon. But I'll buy it online. I'll probably get it. That'd be fine.
That'd be a good gift.
Oh, you know, thank you, because I almost forgot to get her something. You know what I got Henry for his birthday? And it was a good choice, I think, for a little kid, is that little flip camera.
Oh,
they're about,
yeah.
I think, about $100.
That is a good
And it's
gift
a USB camera, and it goes, he does a lot of MySpace. He can put the video right up on MySpace.
Did he ask for that? Or is
no, scared? But he's... He's been really interested in video, and he's borrowed the video camera a couple of times. But it's so funny because he's, you know, he tells his friends, "You can't touch this, man. My dad will kill me if anything goes this way." This way, it's his own camera. It's. I said, you know what? It's tough. You can beat it up.
Right.
It's not. You know, enjoy. And I think he's very
I do like
happy.
That camera. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now on to the save.
By the way, we purchased all of that with Visa.
Okay. B.S. Visa Junior.
Visa Junior. No, actually, my daughter has a Visa for France. You can do, I really like this. They call it a Scholastic account or a college account. It's a debit, Visa debit card. And you could put, as a parent, you could put cash in it. You can tell the bank what limits are and so forth. And of course, you get a statement as a parent. In fact, I even get text messages every day to the current balance.
Oh, that's
And so
true.
That's what she's going to take to France with her. So she actually can get cash if she needs it. Or because it's a Visa card, she can use it to charge emergency stuff.
That's really smart.
Yeah. Well, you know, nowadays... It used to be in the old days, you go to the American Express office and you'd have the American Express traveler's checks.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
They have ATM machines.
Right, exactly.
So much easier. In fact, it's hard to find somebody who takes traveler's checks.
Yeah, it's true.
So this is Bullfrog.
Bullfrog.
What is this?
This is a game recommended
by
Aaron. Yeah, it's free. That's why it's under the save. It's free. It's for Apple. I haven't, I meant to ask you to check it out before. Are you running a Mac there?
Let me see. I don't know. A Mac? Could this be? Yeah, it's a Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Bullfrog. It looks like a fun little game for kids to download.
Or for adults to.
Or for kids who look like adults like you.
I don't know. Some people would say I don't look like an adult. Let's see. Let's play. Let's play a little bit of
Outer Level Corporation.
Let's play a little bit of Bullfrog here. Oh, I like the music.
Ooh, yeah, me too.
Ain't a bullfrog. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. I'm sorry. Nat, so now what do I do?
I think you could try to catch the bugs. That's what I'm guessing.
They move.
Oh, with your tongue.
Oh, I got a tongue. Whoa. Got it.
So what age would you say this would be appropriate for?
50 to 60.
or 50?
I think it'd be a little frustrating for anybody under 6, probably, yeah. But
Horse
I think
some
kids are pretty good at this stuff.
Yeah.
I'd say 6 is probably a good age for this.
Yeah.
6 to 11.
Totally free.
Oh, this is really well done.
Yeah. Have you heard of Outer Level Corp?
So the snap is my tongue going out to get the bugs.
I like that whip sound.
Uh-oh, time's running out.
Okay, should I move on to give while you're still playing Bullfrog from Outer Level? You can get it at apple.com downloads. We'll
That's
have the,
great.
The link at twit.
That's great.
.tv.
I could, you know what? That's a good casual game for an adult even, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, just to waste some time. When you're not on Facebook getting malware.
Are you getting cynical?
I tell you, I was close to going on Facebook. I've been...
You mean like creating a profile or looking at something?
Well, creating a profile. I'm not on Facebook. And I just didn't want to. But now more and more of my real life friends from all aspects are on.
Yeah.
But now, like, there's all this, like, spam and viruses. Now Facebook is the new Microsoft.
Here's the deal
Outlook.
With that spam virus thing is that sometimes people's accounts will get hacked into. Or, because it has to be a friend of yours to send
you.
Right. So it's somebody who's a friend of yours. Usually they've been hacked into. And you'll get a message from them that says, oh, you got to check this link out. And you click the link. If you're running Windows only, it's a danger. If you're on a Mac, you're okay. But if you're running Windows and you haven't patched it, those sites can sometimes contain malware.
Yeah.
I think Facebook's pretty cool. You know, my first girlfriend is on here.
Really?
Kathy Creeley.
Aww.
Yeah.
Okay.
She has a son named Leo, but she claims there's no, it's just coincidence. I think not. I think she never forgot me.
She never forgot you.
You never
forgot. All right, well,
me.
I might have to check out this thing you're calling Facebook sometime.
This thing, what is this thing called Facebook?
Okay, now we're on to the give, a way to give back to our community. This is What Book Got You Hooked. It's at firstbook.org. And it's a place where you can share the memory of the book that made you love reading.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And while you're you can donate to First Book. If you donate, only $10 puts 4 new books into the hands of children who wouldn't otherwise have books.
Oh, that's so great.
And you can also check out the favorite books of different celebrities.
Emma Thompson's favorite books. You should do this. You're a celebrity.
Yeah, I should. You should. You're a celebrity.
You.
No, but
no,
anyone
you
can
should.
Go in
You're
there and say
celebrity.
What their favorite book is.
Barry
Manilow's
favorite book?
But, you know, I haven't entered in my favorite book, but what I have done is gone through and looked at all the favorite books, and I've gotten some good books that Ooh. I've never heard of. The Girl Who Loved Horses. I don't remember if that was Scarlett Johansson's favorite
Hers
book.
Hers was Fantastic Mr. Fox by Roald Dahl, which is a great choice. The book that could you remember the book that got you into reading?
I would say either The Hobbit or Charlotte's Web, both read by my dad, read to me by my dad.
Ira Glass, Franny and Zooey? Or Zoe?
That's not a kid's book, really.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Yeah, that's by J.D. Salinger.
Yeah. Swiss Family Robinson, Stephen Colbert.
Mm.
The Hobbit, my mom read to me. And you know what? I think that probably would be the book I would choose, actually. Yeah. I loved that. Yeah. I'll never forget that.
Stuart Little, also another one that I remember really well from my dad reading.
Stuart Little was great. Me too. I don't know how I'd really pick. Yeah, see, like Kenny Chesney picks The Old Man and the Sea. I don't think they get the concept unless he came to reading late in life.
That's the book. Yeah, some people did. Some people's parents didn't read to them. I mean, some people didn't. Maybe they didn't love reading
as
teenagers and
like
that reinvent.
Oh, you know, I could see as a, you're right, as a 16-year-old reading The Old Man and the Sea saying, my God, books are good.
Right.
Yeah, for you know, I notice it's the guys that it's kind of the older books.
Right. Well, it's lucky that I don't have to pick one book. I can pick a book every week.
Every single
Audible.
Week. It's our Audible pick of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, this show brought to you by the good folks at audible.com/monkeys. Audible is, of course, the place where you can get 50,000 amazing books. Not just books, speeches. You know, they got the speeches from the Democratic Convention already up.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
free.
Well. Good, because that's a way for me to listen to them.
Yeah, exactly. They'll have the Republican convention up as well. They do a lot of that pro bono stuff.
Mm.
I just think Audible's a neat company. And believe me, if you like to read, you're listening to podcasts, so we know you like to listen.
Mm-hmm.
This is the perfect marriage of great literature and, you know, stuff that's in your head. These stories are told. They hire the best readers, so the stories are told in a way that I think it's so much more vivid than what your recommendation, The Keep. When I listened to that, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Really felt like you were in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And the guy who was reading it, you felt like that's the guy is the protagonist.
Right.
It really
didn't they have more than one reader on there?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They had a woman
for
I think.
Different narrators. Yeah.
But the guy, when a book is written in first person, it's a really good audible read because they really feel like the guy's telling you the story. You know.
Yeah.
So what's your pick?
My pick is a kid's book, the Amelia Bedelia collection.
Oh, I love Amelia Bedelia.
Peggy Parris wrote this book.
These are the greatest books.
They are, and they're read by Suzanne Torin, and you can get the whole collection, which is several books. I think it's like about an hour long.
I gotta listen to a little bit of it because this Amelia Bedelia has to be read. You know, you have to read it out loud to your kids because it's. She talks funny.
Right. Well, she, you know, she, like, the woman tells her to change her towels, and instead of actually replacing them, she just cuts them up. Do you remember that?
I love Amelia. Let's hear a little bit of Amelia Bedelia from audible.com.
In the story we are going to read today, Amelia Bedelia by Peggy Parrish, we'll see how things turn out for Amelia Bedelia. I'll read aloud. And you follow along in your copy of the book.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
Yeah.
We'll start on the page with the picture of Amelia Bedelia standing in front of the
house. So this is done almost as if a teacher's reading out loud to the kids.
Yeah, so they have like a little cues for you to read along, which I think is really interesting, especially with these types of books.
Yeah.
Amelia Bedelia
they're a little
are really
bit old.
The
they're
early readers.
Yeah, they're early readers, yeah. What a good choice. So this could be free or any of the 50,000 titles. In fact, many, as I said, are free. Especially the pro bono stuff, speeches and so forth. Barack Obama's 2004 speech to the DNC convention last time, the one that put him on the map of the national politics is on there too. So if you never, and that's free. Yeah. So if you never heard that speech, which I heard it, but I forgot and I wanted to listen to it again. It was really a great opportunity. That's all at audible.com. And if you go to audible.com/monkeys, you could sign up today if you're not already a member, and we'll give you a credit toward a free book. audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their support of this week in
Jumping Monkeys.
Jumping Monkeys.
Okay, we have a contest.
What?
What?
I'm not ready for a contest. I got no prizes.
You can't give away prizes.
Okay, good. I was going to say, you can't give away the ultimate game machine.
JR, who owns the Peanut Butter PC software and Peanut Butter Pointer, he said he's got some more codes to give away.
Thank you.
I think 10 product
codes. Thank you so much.
So the way you can win is by sending us your parenting tech tips. Send us your spends. Send us your saves. Send us your gives. The first 10 that we receive in email, we will send you a product code for the Peanut Butter BC or the Peanut Butter Pointer, which is both interesting software for kids, make the PC easier for them to use, and the Peanut Butter Pointer allows you more than one mouse on one PC. So put peanut butter in the subject line. Email me at megan@twit.tv with anything that we can use on the show. And we'll send you
just the first 10 people, right?
Well, yes, the first 10 people. That's right.
We don't want to give it to just everybody.
No, the first 10 we use.
We'll bankrupt the poor guy.
No, but first 10 we use on the show.
Okay, good.
Very officially.
Well, that's
like
a good way
contest.
Of getting somebody to help you out and, and give them a little something to. Thank you.
Okay, so what I've got now is some listener feedback.
Yeah, before we do that, I want to mention our one more sponsor. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind. Do you?
Well, I just want, these guys are so great. I want to give them a little bit of give them some props.
Okay.
Because once again, it's kind of funny how this happens. They came to us and said, we'll do one ad. And the response has been so fantastic from you. We really thank you all. It's time to listener. It's time to feedback the listeners. Feed the listeners back to. All right. Let's get some listener feedback.
Okay. Do you want to do a phone call first or do you want me to do an email first?
No, I don't mind. So here's your choice. You can do web button, or you can do non-web button.
Let's go for the web button.
It's time for a web button. These are people who use the, which actually is very smart, use the web button to have GoToMeeting.
Hey, Leo and Megan. This is John in Louisville. I was just listening to episode 57, trying to catch up, and have a comment about what Archivist Allison was saying, Archivist Allison, however you pronounce that. You had mentioned using Vox, and Leo, you actually gave me an idea to use Vox whenever my son was born a year ago. Vox now has the ability to email in posts.
Ah.
And what I do is actually use Gmail to email in posts. That way Gmail will archive a copy of it and a copy of the photos as I send them in. You can have multiple email addresses, so you can actually go in Vox, set that up to tag the post according to the email address that you have used to send it in. I liked your comment about using Thunderbird to keep a local archive copy, so I will have to try sending email through Thunderbird to see if that
you can works. You can
but
to
you
Gmail
have to put
yeah
something in the subject line as well as the body. The subject line will be the header of the post.
So we're talking about blogging your family's events or your birth, like baby journal or that kind of thing. I think he came up with a great solution. So, and many blog platforms will let you email in. I know WordPress you can email in. Email that, and using Gmail is great because Gmail keeps a copy. Vox has a copy.
Right.
If you use Thunderbird to mail to Gmail, you can have a local copy and two online copies. And that's a really good idea. And
that
Google's going to be around probably for the next 50 years, I would guess.
That is really smart.
Yeah, that's a good solution.
Yeah, but what, because we were talking about a service like Vox you might not want to use because
you can't get
they
it off.
Could, yeah,
yeah,
or because it could be gone at any time.
Right.
But yeah, this is a good solution.
But you've
for
saved
that.
It. You've
right
saved everything.
Right.
I think that's perfect.
That is a great solution.
John, thank you. Great call.
Yeah.
Again, that's our number, 707-981-4602, or go to jumpingmonkeys.com and press the web button. That's what he did, and it costs you nothing.
Mm-hmm. So Alex writes, he's written us before, he's a grandfather, and he says his biggest piece of advice is to spoil them rotten.
but only if you're the grandfather.
He was talking about Annabella's first day of kindergarten, and he says, just wait till you drop her off at her dorm and she doesn't come home till the holidays. He said that was the hard one for me and my wife. He says, I'm enjoying every show on Twit, especially Roz, as I'm a sailor. I've been plotting her course every day on the NOAA sailing charts, and you won't believe the depth of the ocean under her, almost 5,000 feet at several points.
I won't mention that. I will not tell her that.
She doesn't know the depth of the ocean beneath her?
She probably does, but let's not rub it in, I guess, is what I'm saying. Yeah, she's almost, she'll arrive in Hawaii September 1st or 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
So she's almost done.
And then is she going to keep podcasting for you?
No. We're going to take the winter off. We'll do a few. She wants to do a couple of, you know, valedictory shows talking about the experience of arriving and so forth. But at that point, I think we'll take a break. She's going to be very busy going. She, during her off season, has to go around and raise money. She gives speeches. For those who don't know what we're talking about, we do a show called Roz Rows the Pacific. She's attempting to be the first woman to row solo across the Pacific. This will take 3 years. Leg one was this summer. She rowed from California to Hawaii.
Wow.
She's literally almost in Hawaii. She'll be in Hawaii in the next couple of days. Leg two goes from Hawaii to Tuvalu, and then from Tuvalu to Australia in 2010.
That's
so it's an unbelievable undertaking. Yeah. It's taken her 100 days to go across, just across to Hawaii.
Wow. Just by herself.
Yeah, there's nobody with her.
Except you on the
She talks to us three times a week. That's it. She rows every day for about 11 hours a day.
It's funny because it's like, she really, I mean, obviously there's she is alone, but like with all the internet, with the fact that she has internet access and
the blog and everything,
solitude is not the same as it used to be.
Absolutely. It's one of the things we talk about that I think is of great interest on the podcast is in the past, explorers would go off, you know, I'm going to climb Everest. I'll talk to you when I get back.
Mm-hmm.
They go, they do the adventure alone, mm-hmm. and then they come back and they get to tell the story as they wish to tell it.
Right.
We're hearing it step by step.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely interacting with her. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
This is very, very new. And some might say, well, you know, yeah, she's rowing the ocean alone, but she's got all this stuff with her. But let me tell you, she still has to row the ocean. She's still alone. All that stuff won't save her if anything bad happens.
Right.
It's just documenting what's happening. It's not changing the experience.
Right.
She's working hard, and she's listening to audible books the whole way, which I think is just great.
Yeah,
she said she finally ran out of stuff to listen to on my
that's
iPod.
So sad.
Well, I gave her 323 books.
Oh wow!
She hasn't run out of books. She just doesn't want to read the rest of the stuff I gave her. You don't want to hear any more from me. You want to hear another
call? Yeah, let's listen to another call.
Mm-hmm. You know, we are folks. I thank you. We are getting so many calls now. That
someday we might actually go through them and just pick the good ones.
We can't get them all anymore. So I don't want to sort them too much.
No.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Dawn from San Jose. I want to let you know how much I love your podcast. I'm listening to the new one right now, and you're talking about the kids going off to school. I just dropped off my son, who's a junior in high school, and I have to tell you, I got teary. This is the first year that his older brother's not with him. His older brother just graduated. And I just felt like, oh, my baby's all alone. Hello, he's a junior. So love your podcast. I have older kids, like I just said, but makes it interesting. I also teach kindergarten.
Oh.
So I listen to all the great things that you guys talk about because my students are going through it.
Yep.
So keep up the great work, and I will be listening faithfully every week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, what a sweet call. Thank you so much, Dawn. That was really, really sweet.
Yeah.
It is like that. I worry about Henry because he's an eighth grader. He's going to be all alone in eighth grade while his big sister is off in France. And I think she was a good influence on him, frankly. He would frequently come home at night and go upstairs and they'd spend hours talking.
Yeah.
And that was a really great thing for him to have her as a peer.
Yeah.
So.
Aww.
That's going to be hard. But I'm going to set up Skype so they can call
each
other.
Oh, good. They can see each other. Yeah. All right. Mandy writes, I just listened to you on my road trip. Mandy says last year I found a site called blurb.com.
Oh, I
that
love
pull
Blurb.
Your blog from the net and publish it as a book. And they also through SmugMug, which we both use. That's their book.
Yeah.
Thing that
Blurb does amazing.
Yeah.
Full bleed, gorgeous photo books.
I think I will
amazing.
Finally make Annabella's baby book. after all those years.
Well, do you have it online in any form that they could pull it, or do you have to do it yourself?
No. Well, I could do a baby book from my blog from when she was just born.
That you can have them at least take that much material.
Yeah. The problem is when I transferred the... I used to be on movable type and then transferred to typepad, and it didn't... It wasn't a seamless transition. I just
this is what we're
things.
Talking about.
Exactly. This is why we this talk is, about it. This is why I talk about it so much. Yeah. So she says... She's talking about blurb. It slurps everything that you've written and the pictures. You can have it bound in a book. Last year, I did one that was over 100 pages for about $40.
What? Wow.
That is great.
Wow.
Way cheaper than, the Shutterfly books. Obviously, it will not be, you'll not be able to do much if you've posted a video, but any hyperlinks will show up as footnotes with the webpage address.
That's very cool.
Really helpful.
Yeah.
And she says, I delete the posts that aren't anything that I care to remember and keep the rest.
Yeah, they have a program, a Blurb Booksmart, that lets you do all this, and then so you're not stuck with every page. You could take pages out if you don't like what's in there.
Yeah. So thanks, Mandy.
You know, I wish I could find time to do this. I have so many books I'd like to do. A book about our trip to Egypt. A book about our trip to Australia. I mean, we were in France 2 years ago. I still have all the stuff picked that I wanted to make a book out of.
Yeah.
I haven't yet done it.
Well, I did that Shutterfly, pay in advance for three books and you get a discount just so I would do it.
Right. Didn't work.
I haven't done it yet.
I remember that when you said, I'm going to do this. It'll be perfect.
Yeah, because I've paid for it. I'll have to do it. Yeah, I made one book for my sister. I mean, for my cousin's wedding. But I still have two books.
You know what? Life is too short. There are too many things in the world and that we want to do, especially when you're a parent.
Right.
Hard to do everything.
Yeah. Well, I told my dad to do it for me because he was retired.
What
he
else
was wasting
he
time doing something. I was like, if you're doing that, you could do this for me. And he said yes, but he hasn't done it yet.
He's in advertising. He knows how to do this stuff. He writes copy for
exactly.
a living.
Exactly.
Oh, well.
All right. Let's listen to one more call and then we've got to go, I think.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
one more call.
If you insist. I've been having a lot of fun. I'm just picking them at random. I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
There's so many good calls.
Go for it.
Wait a minute. Let's see. All right. I'm just literally, you got to see this. I'm going around and around with them. Around and around she goes. Where she stops, nobody knows. Wilmington, Delaware.
Hey, I've got to say about the math and your son's problem with it in public school. I pretty much went through the same exact thing.
He's saying, if you can't understand, the math problems my son's having in public school.
In eighth grade, I was failing math almost every single semester.
That's Henry.
And tried to get help, but I wasn't given it. And I suffered for about a year, asking my teacher questions, her replying, I went over that yesterday, you should know that by now.
Yep.
And just completely failing. And I started homeschool the middle of ninth grade, number one, because of my math problem, and two, because of just my crazy schedule. And I've got to say, from homeschooling, I've gotten A's in math repeatedly now. And I think there's something that public school system's really going down, and that's one of the reasons I'm very glad that I'm homeschooled, and I actually attend Chris McCall's Academy, which is an online high school, and it's done wonders. And the fact that I'm doing much better at home with my mother and taking time and actually having my questions answered is great. The public school system's really done nothing for me. Thanks, I really enjoy your show. I watch it every day.
Great. Thanks for the call. See, now, that's really, I didn't understand the name of the, I'm going to have to go back and listen to that again, of the online high school.
Yeah.
But I don't fault the public schools. I think the schools, because they have a lot of kids, they have to do kind of a one-size-fits-all strategy. And the one real advantage you have in homeschooling is it's tailored for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think sometimes parents are not the best people to be teaching their kids. They don't have that objective. They're not a third party. The kids might have... Henry would struggle if I were teaching him math. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have been doing that.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't want to hear it from me. But another adult, I think what we're going to do is get him a tutor. A kid tutor.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's a peer, maybe a little older. Actually, probably we'll use a kid named Jack who's Abby's age. And it might be good for him to have that boy around. And he's very good at math. And I think that might work.
Yeah.
A tutor's not a bad idea. But the public schools really, any school is designed for, one-size-fits-all education. Mm-hmm. They don't have the resources to customize it.
Yeah.
All
right. right. Well, I think...
Are we done?
I think we're done. Yeah. I wanted to thank Helen Coronado again for joining us. Her book is Eco-Friendly Families. And I wanted to remind people that if they want a copy of the Peanut Butter PC, we're giving away 10 copies, 5 copies of the Peanut Butter PC software and great. 5 copies of the Peanut Excellent. Butter Pointer. Email me at megan@twit.tv. Put peanut butter in the subject line and give us a tip that we can use on the show.
Very good.
And next week,
yes?
Next week we're going to talk to Darren, who owns a toy store in our neck of the woods, and he's a geek, and he's going to tell us some techie toys
geek
that we
toys.
May not know about.
Love that idea. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Megan. As always, I just love doing this show, and thank you for being in here. I got about 8 more commercials I'd like to do, if you don't mind. Can you just stick around? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, if only that were true.
Yes.
No, we don't want to burden you with that. We are really grateful to the sponsors, the special few sponsors that we have, because they really keep this show afloat. We thank you because you keep this show afloat. Your donations keep the network going, and we really thank you for listening to the show. Just listening helps, you know, because mm-hmm. we get paid for everybody who hears the show. So the more, tell your friends, the more who listen, the better. I'm Leo Laporte.
And I'm Megan Maroney.
See you next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.
Bye.